The reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea and Herod tetrarch of Galilee, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the country around Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough waves smooth, and all people will see God's salvation. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering if, in their hearts, if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come. The straps of those sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you, the Holy Spirit and the fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And with many other words, John exhorted people and proclaimed the good news to them. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. As he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased.
Let's pray for ourselves and for Will as we prepare to hear from God's word tonight. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you've revealed yourself to us through the Bible. I thank you for my brother Will. Pray that you'd pour out your spirit on him now, that you would anoint him to preach the good news of Jesus. And I pray for myself and for each one of us that even now you would be opening our hearts to hear from you and to learn more about your great love for each one of us this evening. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. It's just wonderful to see so many people here. Really, I just hope you can enjoy the service and engage with it and share in the joy of those who are about to get baptized. And it's not a coincidence that on this night when we're going to be baptizing, I'm going to speak to you a little bit about John the Baptist. Now, he was a bit of a weirdo. It has to be absolutely honest. He was definitely not your run-of-the-mill first century Jew. He was sent by God ahead of Jesus Christ. And we heard that prophecy, that foretelling, that looking into the future that the prophet Isaiah had written about hundreds of years before, about making the crooked places straight and filling in the valleys and making the mountains low. And he lived most of his life out in the wilderness, eating locusts and honey. And we're also told that he dressed in a very weird way, with animal skin. So he was definitely an unusual person. And in our reading, we hear that all of a sudden, the word of God comes to him and his ministry starts. And he heads out preaching to the people and telling them to get ready for Jesus. We're told, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And we're told why he is doing this as well. Luke tells us that he's preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So I just thought that's a great place to start. What is sin? What is repentance? And what is going on with this little mini swimming pool here and this weird word, baptism? Now, the first thing is sin. Sin is something that you and I all have in common. Every one of us has it in common. It doesn't matter how hard we try. You can ask my wife if you're unsure about this. It doesn't matter how hard I try. I still manage to mess up. I even managed to upset her at lunchtime today. It happens the whole time, and I know I've upset people here. Okay? It doesn't matter whether we go totally off the rails and end up in prison, or whether we do something hurtful to someone we love. It's all the same. We all mess up. is there anyone here who'd like to raise their hand and say that they've never made a mistake and they've never messed up? No, I didn't think so. So sin is, in essence, you may think that sin is like, oh, you know, being an armed robber or a murderer or a rapist, but actually, the essence of sin is living your life the way you want to live it and not the way God wants you to live it. To use an old-fashioned word, sin is perhaps rebellion against God's will. So that's what sin is. The second thing is, what is repentance? It's an unusual word, I guess. Most people don't really use it very much in their day-to-day lives. But when we say sorry for something, when we acknowledge we've done something wrong, that's more of a confession. So, for example, today I said, darling, I'm sorry I spoke to you like that about who was going to walk the dog. Yeah, I know, fairly minor, but, you know, that's just saying sorry. But repentance is a step further than saying sorry. Repentance is saying sorry and also taking steps to make sure you then never do it again. Okay? It's turning away from where you were heading and heading back in the right way. It's like a burglar throwing away his skeleton keys, returning everything he's stolen and promising to go straight. It's like a drug addict throwing away all their injections and all their drugs paraphernalia and checking into rehab. It's like a school bully leaving their gang and publicly apologizing to everybody they've hurt. It's like an online troll posting a public admittance of everything they've said that's been a lie and it's been vindictive and it's been horrid and promising never to do it again and then coming off social media. So this is what John was doing. He was getting people to make a decision to change their lives, to say sorry, to make a public declaration, because going through the waters of baptism, as you will see, is a public declaration of the change in your life, and also to get right before God. Which leads me on to, what is baptism? Well, you can see it involves water. And we know that getting baptized was clearly a vital sign in the life of those who were following Jesus, because Jesus himself got baptized. Now, of course, he didn't need to. And if you want to look into that in more detail, Danny was preaching on that this morning. You can watch it online. Jesus didn't need to get baptized. He didn't have any sins that needed to be washed away. But one of the reasons why he went through the waters of baptism was to show us the way. And God, we know, was delighted. Our passage tells us that a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." So what was going on? Well, first, we follow Jesus' example. Second, we're demonstrating this decision that we've made, a decision to follow Jesus, to live our lives how God wants us to live them and not the way we want to live them. A decision to turn our backs on all we know that is wrong and turn to Jesus. And we'll be making those promises in a moment. The candidates will stand out here and they will make those promises. And then later, we will all, those of us here who follow Jesus, will also have an opportunity to confess our faith. And then third, as we go through the water of baptism, we are, in a sense, enacting what is happening on the inside of us. Yeah, we're getting wet on the outside, but on the inside, what is happening is we are dying to our old selves. Now, I remember explaining what baptism about, and there was a very young child, but the child was just old enough to understand what dying meant and what drowning meant. And the baptism service got off to a bit of a dodgy start there, because the child said, "I don't want to go in the water, I don't want to die." Okay, but this is a death to our old spiritual life, okay? So the old will, when he went through the waters of baptism, I died, okay? the will that lived life how he wanted to live it, that came to an end. The will that just went through life messing up and not really caring too much about it, that old life was washed away. My sins were washed away. My old life died in the waters of baptism. And then when one comes up out of the waters of baptism, there's this wonderful picture that we're washed clean. All the sins, all the mess in our life is washed away and left in there. We are a new life, and our old selves are dead to sin, and we are alive in Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you. And it's so exciting. And we emerge from the waters as a child of God's and an inheritor, an heir to the kingdom of God. Now, you may be wondering, if you haven't heard this before, or perhaps you don't believe it, you may be wondering, it's all a bit hard to believe, and also I don't quite understand how it all works. Well, let me explain. You see, when... This is really dodgy, putting my iPad on the edge here, okay? Lord, just pray your protection, a hedge of protection around my iPad. But when Jesus hangs there on the cross, it is like his arms are outstretched to us. He is beckoning us into his embrace to give us this new life. But you know, just like I used to be, I'm not interested. I walk past. I'm not interested at all. And the problem is we can't get close to God because God is perfect. God is sinless. And because we've all messed up, we just can't get close to God. So what's the solution? Well, Jesus takes all the mess in our lives on his shoulders so that we can have a relationship with God. Heaven, which I hope we would all aspire to get to one day when we die, I'm in no rush, by the way, heaven is going to be the most perfect place. Nothing goes wrong in heaven. There's no cancer. There are no car crashes. There's no sin. There's no death. If we do have a house, you won't need any keys for your house. There'll be nobody nasty out there, nobody to hurt you, nobody to say mean things about you, which means how on earth does somebody like me get into heaven? And the answer is because of what Jesus has done for us. That's what is happening. That's what happened on that Good Friday on the cross. Now, if you'll excuse me a little bit of artistic license, I saw someone else do this. It's such a great idea. I'm just copying it. Now, if John the Baptist was alive today, okay, just imagine there'd be thousands of people flocking to hear his message, intrigued by this distinctive character and weirdo, okay? And I could just imagine, you know, if he started baptizing people in the River Ouse down by the university, Danny and I would kind of wander down there and we'd say, hey, John, you know, we're from, you know, Buckingham Parish Church, and not 100%, you know, happy with the way, I think you could organize this better, okay? You know, we've got a great staff team, we've got church suite, we can do barcoded invitations, we can, you know, we can download an app on our smartphone so everyone comes through their baptism, we can just scan their barcode, capture their data, and then, you know, we can invite them to Alpha, you know. So John, are you kind of interested in how we could help you in your ministry? So let's say, for some reason, John the Baptist says, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. So I say, okay, right, well, what we're going to do is we're going to arrange an induction area, and we're going to have our staff team, highly competent, efficient staff team, sitting out there. And of course, we need to capture everybody's name. So we're going to have some labels. And so what we're going to do is we're going to say, right, Frank, you come up here. Got your name, Frank. So what have you done wrong in your life? So Frank says, do you know what? I take things without people's permission. Right, Frank, thief. Okay, you go and stand over there. Right, who's next? Okay, so what's your name? Oh, my name's Lucy. Right, so what's your sin, Lucy? Well, you know, I've kind of had multiple partners. Ah, interesting. Lucy, right. Adulterer. Okay, who's next? Andrew, what's your big sin? Well, do you know, I don't really tell the truth the whole time. This, you know, right, Andrew, liar. Put it on him there. Right, who's next? What's your name? Charlie. So, Charlie, what do you get up to, Charlie? What's your sin? Well, I'm not really as nice as I could be the whole time. Ah, mean. There we go. You go and stand over there. What's your name? My name's Spencer. So, Spencer, what's your sin? Ah, well, I pick on people. You pick on people, do you? Bully. Ah, now what about you? My name's Jesus. Ah. Right. What's your sin? None. Ah, well, okay. Not your biggest sin, but Jesus, what's your little tiny weeniest little tiny sin? None. Right. Okay. Danny, what do we do? What's the plan on this one? We haven't come across this one before. I don't know, Will. They didn't teach me that at St. Miletus. You're my training incumbent. Come on, you're supposed to know. And then Jesus stands there and he says, Lucy, give me your badge. And he puts it on himself. Then he goes, Andrew, the liar, give me your badge. He puts it on himself. And he goes, Charlie, what was your sin? I'm mean. I'll take care of that for you. Spencer, what are you? I'm a bully. Somebody committed suicide because of me. I'll take that from you. This is what Jesus does. He takes every single mess, every single sin in our lives, and he takes it upon himself. This is what following Jesus is about. This is what putting our faith and trust in Jesus is about. This is the decision that all those who are being baptized tonight have taken. Their decision is they're going to give all this mess in their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's why he died for us. And when they come up out of this water, they will have a clean slate. It's going to get dirty quickly, okay, by the way. Just because you've been baptized, sadly, doesn't mean you stop messing up, okay? But we are promised a clean slate. We are promised a fresh hope. We are promised a new start. And we are promised eternal life. That is how good it is. And of course, it has to be that good. Otherwise, we wouldn't bother doing this. I wonder if you're tired here. Is there anyone who is tired? Well, Jesus promises to carry your yoke. Is your life in chaos? Jesus promises to bring order to it. Is there anyone here who's unable to forgive themselves? Jesus promises to forgive you. Is there anyone else who is hopeless right now? Jesus restores hope. And is there anyone scared of death here? Because with Jesus, death is only a hiccup along the way to eternal life. You just need to look up and look for Jesus. He's here now with his arms outstretched, waiting for you to come home. And if you're interested in finding out more about Jesus, there are some really good churches here in Buckingham. Just Google it, but take that step. Head towards making that decision and get stuck in and learn about Jesus. Let me just close with a little prayer. Father, we just thank you for the promises you make to us. We thank you for the work that goes on through the waters of baptism. We thank you for our sacrifice. And we just pray, Lord, if there's anybody here who is far off from you at the moment, but interested and hearts are open and interests are aroused, then I pray, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, you would draw them one step further towards going through these waters. In Jesus' name, amen.